Good morning. It is Kale and Company live here on WKXL and HTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental, and always happy to have in studio Dan Weed, Weed Family Automotive, one of our great sponsors here on WKXL, located at 124 Store Street in Concord. You can give them a call right now, make an appointment, getting near the end of the month. And I'm sure some of you have not had your car inspected as yet. If you need an inspection or any kind of work on your vehicle, 603-225-7988 is the number. And welcome back, Dan.
Ken, good morning. Glad to be back.
Always great to have you with us. And a couple of days ago, Baltimore certainly experienced a major disaster with the Francis Scott Key Bridge coming down as a result of a collision with a cargo ship, the cargo ship colliding into one of the supports, I believe, for the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And how does something like that happen?
It looks like preliminary reports are stating that the ship lost power somehow. So there's a couple of videos out there that you see the lights go out on the ship, come back on, go out again, and it looks like by the time they actually would have had control, it was too late at that point. So that seems to be the preliminary reasoning behind it. But the bigger concern is how this is going to affect our transportation industry.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the bigger ports of entry for new cars coming, you know, imports and exports. You know, Nissan, Toyota, General Motors, Volvo, Jaguar, Land Rover, Volkswagen are some of the key players, the automotive players in that shipping port, as well as a lot of parts coming in and out of there. So a lot of the plants down in Tennessee and South Carolina are fed through the Baltimore port. So it might disrupt some of the manufacturing plants as well, or assembly plants within the automotive industry.
Yeah, you can certainly see that. And also, it's a major cargo area as well. And you'd have to think there'd be some car parts involved in some of that cargo as well.
Most definitely. I think the, if you will, ripple effects of this, and no pun intended, are going to be huge, you know, to see what it does to the transportation world. You know, how many days or weeks is it going to take to get that bridge pulled out of there and get these ships in and out of port?
Yeah, absolutely. What a disaster. And certainly, I'm sure it'll provide lots of chaos in terms of people getting to work, people just moving around Baltimore. I mean, it was a bridge that was used by thousands of people daily. This happened at 1:40 in the morning on Tuesday morning. You know, people obviously were on the bridge. They were working there. There were some cars on the bridge as well at that time. But this is going to be a traffic nightmare in the Baltimore area for, you know, probably years to come.
Exactly. It's not like they're going to be able to replace that bridge overnight, so to speak. And, you know, of course, our first and foremost thoughts are to the families and people that were working on there, and you know, the potential lives lost at that point. You know, just really a sad tragedy. But again, the long-term effects are unknown at this point. You know, how many years is it going to take them to replace and or rebuild that bridge?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that bridge was there for, I believe, 47 years.
Yeah, I believe 1977, 78.
Yeah, and so it has been there, and it's a landmark bridge, or was a landmark bridge in Baltimore. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with all the people there who suffered losses. And my goodness, it is going to be a traffic nightmare, I would think, for a long time to come in Baltimore. So how, if, you know, the ships cannot get docked in Baltimore, what kind of impact might it have on the, you know, new car industry, cars getting to dealerships and so on?
I guess it really depends on this point at what ships are actually stuck in port. And then the ones that are still out to sea can possibly reroute to other ports, which is going to put more pressure on those ports until they get this all figured out. You know, from, I guess, Baltimore down through Georgia and whatnot. But, you know, of course, Miami's a big seaport.
Yeah.
Or, you know, do they open up something in Boston? You know, do we start, you know, sending stuff up into Boston at that point or Connecticut? You know, because Connecticut's got the submarine base and,
right.
you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even here in Portsmouth, the Naval Shipyard, can they somehow utilize these to enhance the cargo industry?
And there's a lot of impact as a result of what took place early Tuesday morning in Baltimore to many industries. I'm sure it's one of the largest ports for vehicles and cargo. So that's an issue as well. So it's so much impact from that bridge collapse on Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm, definitely
can't even begin to grasp all of the ripple effect that it's had and will continue to have for years to come.
Exactly, and it's just too many unknowns at this point. To see what it's going to take to get, even the rescue efforts taken care of course, recovery efforts, get that taken care of, get the human aspect of it fixed and addressed, and then dealing with the removal and recovery of cars, trucks, the bridge itself, and heck, the ship that struck it. You know, we don't even know if it's operable at this point.
Right, exactly. And I guess almost immediately, divers were on the scene, and you mentioned before we went on the air that your daughter knew some of them.
Yeah, my daughter is in the emergency medical business, if you will, and she had some friends that are either on the dive teams or on their way down there to help out the dive teams and in the recovery efforts at this point.
Yeah.
So, that 6 degrees of separation is sometimes never far enough away.
All right. Exactly. Dan Weed with us from Weed Family Automotive. So what else is happening in the world of cars?
Well, so in our local world of cars, we have, again, proposals for changes to our inspection program again.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That there's always proposed changes to our inspection program.
Yeah, there seems to be a number of key players that want to dismantle, disrupt, or change the entire thing, or get rid of it altogether. And the latest push, there's a couple of different ones going on, but one of the latest ones is to exempt new vehicles for 2 years of inspection regulations. So on the outset, it really doesn't look like much, but we have a bunch of key people that we see as customers that are putting 20 to 30,000 miles a year on vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time that comes around and the timing of the inspection, somebody might get 2.5 years out of not inspecting the car. And by that time, you're 40 to 60,000 miles into it, at which time we're typically starting to see by then tires that are already worn out, brakes that are need to be addressed and things like that. So, and this is kind of, I guess, a foothold in the door for them doing away with the entire inspection program. And on the outlier, I would say, people are going to, you run a repair shop and you make all this money on the inspection program. Well, the inspections themselves really aren't the profitable part of our business, so to speak. But the reality is human nature, as we know, we tend to procrastinate just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And so, Mike, my concern is,
why'd you look at me that way?
You're just so handsome. my concern is that we're just going to keep delaying things. And, if they do happen to do away with the entire inspection program, what I foresee happening is as we put things off, those repairs get more and more expensive. So right now with the inspection program, you have a proactive service being performed at a very reasonable cost to catch problems ahead of time before something really bad happens. And so to me, it's a nice peace of mind more than anything to know that the car's been checked out, because you can take the average brake job, which these days is in the $400 range, give or take. But you put that off and all of a sudden you're down through the rotors, you're down through the pads, you've chewed up the calipers, and all of a sudden that $400 brake job is $800 to $1,000. And so I see the cost of repairs and maintenance going up if they actually do away with the inspection program. I think personally what I would do within our business is I would still offer a yearly evaluation, something similar to the state inspection, and be proactive about it and time it however the customer wants to do it. But again, it might not be as cost competitive, so to speak, as what we do for state inspection, because most of the time it takes us a solid hour to from start to finish to do that inspection to thoroughly look at the car and evaluate it properly.
Right. Right.
And for an hour's work, we're charging, say, $49.95.
Yeah.
I mean, so quite the value compared to what the real labor rates are.
Oh, exactly. And it is a very thorough inspection that is given. And we'll talk more about that after the break, as we have to take one right here. Kale & Company Live, Dan Weed, Weed Family Automotive. And they are located conveniently at 124 Store Street in Concord. You can call them right now. Make an appointment for your inspection if you put it off for the month of March. Or if you have one coming up for April or, you know, 3 months in advance, you can do that as well. Get it out of the way. 603-225-7988, the number to call. We'll take a break. Kale & Company continues right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Kale & Company Live right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Happy to have Dan Weed back in studio. And you know, Dan and I have been doing shows for many, many years. And you know, at one of our locations where we did shows, we featured a cartoon of the week. And folks, we are going to bring it back today, right here on this program.
Something new and exciting here on WKXL, the cartoon of the week.
And we will continue that tradition when Dan is in here. And Dan is, he always picks out some great car songs. Some of which I'm familiar with, some of them I'm not, like this one that we're going to play today, but maybe some of you are. But we'll give you the year. It was from 1978. Try to think of a car song from 1978, and that's what we're going to play today, at least one of the car songs from 1978. But it's always fun to hear the cartoon of the week here on WKXL. And Dan, what else is happening in the auto industry?
So again, getting back to the inspection program, so yeah, that first bill was to repeal the first 2 years. There's another one out there now to amend some of the inspection rules dealing with brakes. One of the things that I thought was kind of interesting was that they want to remove the rust aspect on brake rotors in particular from inspection regulations. And of course, I can't show a picture on the radio here, but
hold it up to camera three.
I've taken around the shop the last few days examples of rust on brake rotors that truly affect the braking operation of the vehicle. And I just struggle with them trying to pull this wording out of the language on this bill. The other thing they want to change is taillight lenses, headlight lenses, stuff like that. They now want to allow people to tape them over for repair. So typically what we see is cracks in the lenses and whatnot that allows water in, or a hole in the lens that emits a white light. And to some degree, I'm okay with a tape repair on, say, a red lens or a yellow lens, but they want to allow it on headlights as well, which really doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you know, Dan, as we've said many times, it doesn't have to make sense. And I know there are some legislators that are pro eliminating the entire inspection program completely, and I just don't get it. I really can't imagine, no matter what side of the aisle they're from, I can't imagine eliminating that inspection program, because it benefits everybody, not just the person that's getting the inspection, but for all his or her fellow drivers.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, we take our due diligence in maintaining our cars and keeping them up to a certain standard. There are other people that, you know, we see some of these cars driving around and why they haven't been stopped or these, you know, is beyond me. But, you know, as that car is coming at you at 50 or 60 miles an hour, you want to know that car is reasonably safe as well. And again, we see examples week in and week out of, you know, component failures on vehicles or due to wear and tear or whatever that, you know, create a safety issue. And I've got counterparts across the country that I know in different states, and, you know, I see their average repair bill at least twice as much as what we have here. Mm-hmm. And I equate that back to the fact that most of these states don't have an inspection program. By the time that car rolls in, that $1,000 repair is now a $2,000 or $3,000 repair because we waited so long.
And so, it's great for people like me, for example, who don't know much about vehicles except what I've learned from Dan over the years. But I don't know. I mean, sometimes I can feel when something might be wrong, but you know, it's just really guesswork on my part. You want to get some verification and some knowledge from the experts about what exactly is going on, whether it's under the hood or in the brakes, whatever. And it's just. I wouldn't trust myself to know whether something is right or wrong with my vehicle. So that's why I've taken it for years to Weed Family Automotive, and they've done a terrific job keeping it on the road now, Dan, for over 242,000 miles.
There you go.
I'm zeroing in on 333,000.
We'll make it.
Yeah,
we'll make
I hope it. So. Car will outlast me.
I don't. I think you've got many more years than the car does.
Boy, I don't know. I don't know how to take that. But at any rate, what are some of the other proposals? Do they have other proposals? Because I think if you made it, you talked about maybe like a voluntary annual check of the vehicle. I don't think a lot of people would take advantage of that if it wasn't mandated by government.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point in time, there's got to be some, I guess, responsibility of what's happening with that car. And, you know, of course, most of the legislators, you know, want to take the big government out of the picture, so to speak, and oversight and whatnot. You know, and to some degree, I can agree with that. But when it comes down to personal safety, and you know, I look at it as an honor that people bring in their cars to us and trusting us with their lives every day. And so, do we trust the government with our lives, or do we trust the average, you know, your everyday repair shop? You know, who's going to win? Who's going to lose out of this?
Yeah, no, exactly. And this battle has been going on for years.
Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the State House to testify in one of the committees or whatever and whatnot. And the amount of work that goes into just following the repair, you know, dealer and repair legislation that's out there is just amazing.
What are the stats, do you know, Dan, on states that do have an inspection program and don't? How many states do not have inspection programs?
You know, I don't have that number off the top of my head, but to the best of my knowledge is 10 or 15 that do have an inspection program, whether it's emissions only or emissions and safety. Mm-hmm. But the majority don't have inspection programs.
Majority don't.
Don't, right.
That's unbelievable to me.
Right.
I mean, it really is. Having, you know, grown up in Massachusetts and then lived most of my life in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. we just assume, you know, that every state has an inspection program, but that's far from the case.
Yeah, I know in our surrounding area, all the New England states, so New Hampshire, Maine, Mass, Vermont, New York, and Connecticut have some sort of emission or safety and or emissions testing program.
Yeah, but I guess maybe in the Sun Belt states and the warmer climes, I guess they don't feel like it's necessary.
Exactly, for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would think it would just be every bit as necessary there as it is here, but apparently they don't feel that way. But at any rate, I'm glad we have one in New Hampshire. I hope it always remains that way because, you know, let's face it, most people are not experts in automotive mechanics. And, you know, we just take it to the experts and let them take care of what needs to be done. So I'm glad we do have it in New Hampshire. No doubt about that. And again, we're getting late in the month, folks, and time to get that inspection sticker if you don't have it already, and time to get some work done. And also, Dan, we've talked about this before, it's a time when you can make a decision about your vehicle. If you're on the fence about maybe trading it in for a newer model or selling it or whatever, and That always, people sometimes make decisions around the times that they have to get inspections.
Right, which is a great idea if, you know, you're even remotely concerned about that, to take advantage of the early inspection. Like you alluded to, we can do it up to 3 months ahead of time. And so that if there's any concerns about the longevity of that car, let's find out ahead of time on it, get that inspection done, you know, month, 2, 3 months early to give you some time to plan around that and shop, because you never want to all of a sudden bring it in for inspection and it needs thousands of dollars worth of repair. You opt not to repair it at that point, but now you're under the gun to go buy something different.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the worst situations you want to be in, is to buy a new car or a used car under pressure, so to speak. You know, take your time, be able to do your research, find that car that you want.
Yeah.
Of course, the market is still crazy out there as far as pricing and whatnot. I really don't see a lot of fluctuation in the used car pricing. I'm starting to see a little bit of incentives out there in the new car world. However, they're not as prolific as they used to be. So, you know, both new and used car pricing is pretty tough out there right now. I was doing some shopping around for my grandson to see what's out there, and I saw some 8- and 10-year-old cars with 140,000-150,000+ miles that were $8,000 and $9,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is something.
And so the market is still pretty tough out there. Prices and, of course, interest rates haven't helped at all.
No.
And so, you know, if you don't have a car payment, my recommendation would be pretend you still did, tuck it away for, you know, savings, build up a little bit of cash value in there. If your car still has some value on a trade-in, then you've got cash down plus the value of the car on a trade-in to put towards that new-to-you vehicle. So.
That is great advice, automotive-wise and financial-wise, from Dan Weed of Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. Open Monday through Friday from what?
7:30 to 5:30
Monday through Friday. Make an appointment, 603-225-7988. Operators are standing by, ladies and gentlemen, to help you out every step of the way. And you can also make a reservation online as
exactly,
well.
Right.
Make an appointment online at weedfamilyautomotive.com. We will take a break. Our cartoon of the week is coming up right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Dan Weed is with us from Weed Family Automotive. And during our past, one of our past incarnations of doing shows with Dan Weed, Dan came up with a great idea to play a cartoon of the week. That's a C-A-R-T-U-N-E. And Dan has over the years made some great selections, and he has picked out another one for today's program as we reinvent the wheel here on no pun intended, though, Dan. We're going to do a song by a rock band. The name of Dan is?
This is a little flashback from 1978. Some people consider these guys their one-hit wonder. But here we go with Driver's Seat from Sniffin' the Tears.
KXL, NHTalkRadio.com. That is Sniffin' the Tears and Driver's Seat. And we uncovered here, Dan, a little information that after a decade, now that was from 1978.
Correct.
That was the original hit, which made it to number 15 in the United States. And after a decade of inactivity, Sniffin' the Tears were unexpectedly revived in 1992. After the use of that song, Driver's Seat, in a European advertising campaign. And that pushed the 13-year-old recording to the very top of the Dutch chart in mid-1991.
Yes.
And so the group leader, Paul Roberts, took the chance, the opportunity, to assemble a new version of Sniffin' the Tears and took them out on the road in the Netherlands and Germany.
Great.
So there you go. Maybe someday they'll play Concord, New Hampshire. Who knows?
Yeah. And it was a Pioneer Car Stereo commercial that aired throughout Europe.
Oh, is that what it was?
That brought him back.
Pioneer Car Stereo. Yeah. Pioneer. Boy, that goes back.
It does. We're starting to date ourselves. Yeah. Almost like a reel-to-reel.
Almost. It might be the equivalent of a reel-to-reel in a vehicle. Yeah. So there you go. Sniffin' the Tears and Driver's Seat. Good tune.
Yeah,
I was honestly not familiar with it at all. Where was I in 1978 when this was a big hit? I don't know. 70s? I guess we forgot about most of the 70s. At any rate, we will do that. Every time Dan is here, we will have at least one cartoon of the week. There you go.
And we will take requests for it, too.
We'll take. If people want to make requests, they can get in touch with Dan or myself, and we'd be happy to bring it to the table and we'll have our programming committee here decide which one or ones we're going to play. And it's fun to bring back some of these cartoons and especially some that are lesser known. I mean, there are some, you know, obvious ones out there like Drive My Car by the Beatles and any number of Beach Boys songs. But, you know, some of the more eclectic and lesser known ones, perhaps.
The old Hot Rod Lincoln.
The Hot Rod Lincoln, yeah. Give us that Commander Cody,
yep,
and the Lost Planet Airmen,
Johnny Cash, and One Part at a Time.
Oh yeah, love that. Oh, we have to do that. Okay. We have to do that. That is an all time classic, without a doubt. So you know we've gone this far in the program, Dan, and you know what we haven't mentioned?
Let me think. Gas powered vehicles.
Yeah, I was thinking the other way around, EVs. So anything new in the EV world?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there is. So Tesla, and you know, as much as people again bash Elon Musk, he is a we'll trade places here. A maniacal genius.
I'll trade places with Elon Musk. Yeah, I'll trade places with him.
You know, he is a genius at heart, but maybe a little bit of a maniac too. But who knows? You know, but. You know, these people that come up with these things are sometimes not always screwed in tight. Who knows? But, you know, Tesla saw the writing on the wall when EVs first started coming out. Of course, they were one of the early adopters in the program. They've turned the automotive manufacturing world upside down in some of their processes and the way they build and design things. But one of the things that they did is they put their charging network in place before they released the car, and they've continually invested in that charging network to the point where it is, you know, really the number one network in the country right now, probably the world.
Yeah.
And so they, again, saw the writing on the wall. They saw this coming. A lot of these other companies cannot keep up with installing, building, maintaining these charging networks. You know, I don't care whether it's Ford, GM, Chrysler,
right?
You know, yeah, any one of these. So all these companies now have jumped on board. I shouldn't say, they're probably paying a handsome fee for it, but Tesla is now allowing General Motors, Ford, and a handful of other companies to use their charging network.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So Tesla has now become really the North American charging standard out there. These companies have adopted or have adapters for their plugs to work with the Tesla, you know, charger itself and connector. And so I'm sure these companies are paying a handsome fee back to Tesla,
sure,
to be able to adopt this charging standard and use their chargers as well. So there's going to be, I believe, a proliferation of these Tesla chargers and charging stations out there that many, many other manufacturers are going to start using. So what's that going to do to the Teslas and their world? Because now all of a sudden you're going to have GM and Ford, whatever, pulling up to the Tesla charger. So how many people are now going to be waiting in line to get to a charger?
Yeah, and at one time it was exclusively for Tesla owners. And now anyone, or, well, that is under contract to Tesla anyway, to be able to use those charging devices can get their vehicle charged. So, yeah, I mean, at one time you were an exclusive company, and
exactly,
now you're going to have competition.
You have to share your sandbox now.
That's right. That's right. Some people might not be too happy about that.
No, and then, you know, Tesla might lose some market share because of it. Who knows? But
I also saw in my notes here that Tesla has reduced production at its plant in China.
Mm-hmm. Well, they
maybe
had
the plants elsewhere.
They had problems with the plant in Germany that burnt down because of the climate protesters, which is kind of ironic. But we're seeing that all across the EV market right now, though.
Yeah, really? Yeah, yeah. Reduced production.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Back to talk more about that and other things here on Kale and Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. I will guarantee you the only station in New Hampshire today that has played a song by Sniffin' the Tears right here. Keep it right where it is, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, and sometimes music. And Dan Weed is with us, Weed Family Automotive, and the show presented by Northeast Delta Dental. We'll be right back. We are back. Kale and Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. And Dan Weed is in studio with us, Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord, and the number is
603-225-7988.
You can call right now. Operator standing by. Who's standing by today, Dan?
My dream team, Bobby and Ronnie, are waiting for your call.
All right. Outstanding. And they do a terrific job. The whole crew does. You've got a great crew there. And you're looking for anybody right now?
We have a couple apprentices with us right now through the high school program. So we're working with them currently. And right now we have a full staff, and I'm very blessed to have a full staff right now. So,
very good. You must be the only business in town that has one. just judging by some of the places I go into. But at any rate, Dan has a full staff at Weed Family Automotive. And how far out are you right now in terms of making appointments?
We're just a few days out now.
That's,
so
that's
we can get you in as early as next week and get you taken care of for that inspection or whatever the repair needs are.
You have a little leeway if you're a March baby. Or, you know, at the end of any month, you have a little leeway. And so, you know, you might have to take advantage of that. But the best thing to do, and I did it once, Dan. Believe it or not, I did it once, is get my car inspected at least a couple of months in advance.
Right.
I didn't do it this time around, but maybe next time. Maybe next time. Who knows?
Right.
But
I'll remind you.
That's one way to do it, though. I mean,
it's
get it out of the way and, you know, make sure that vehicle is good to go, and you don't have to make any last-minute judgments whether you want to hang on to the vehicle or not. I was kind of on the fence myself this time around, and yeah, it did need a little work, but, you know, I think it beats a monthly payment.
It sure does.
And as Dan says, make that monthly payment to yourself.
Exactly.
So you're ready to make a good down payment on your next vehicle.
You know, even if you take half of your car payment,
you
know, and put it away, put it into a savings account, whatever it happens to be,
and
put it aside, and that leaves you with a nice cushion, either for a couple things, either make repairs if you need it, and or you'll have a nice down payment when it's ready to replace that car.
It's a great idea. It really is. I wish I had done it.
It's not easy.
But it's not easy sometimes. So we talk about the reduction of manufacturing of Teslas in China, but that's pretty much the common theme all over the place, isn't it?
It is right now, yes. Yeah. There's still a continued push by the federal government to adopt the EVs and whatnot. Our industry is ready for it. It's out there. Yeah. We're happy to work with it and deal with it. I just don't think that they went out and really talked to the consumers to see what the consumer demand was going to be for these at this point. And I think the reality of, this green electric vehicle is to some degree a bit of a myth. You still have to, we closed down all these coal mines and all these other mines and stuff like that because they weren't environmentally friendly, but yet we're opening up literally dozens of new mines to mine lithium for these batteries.
Yeah.
Or nickel and metal and, all the other, components that make up these batteries. And plus, again, my cynicism coming out is, where is the infrastructure for this happening?
Exactly. How far are we in this, corner of the country, in New England, let's say, are we behind the rest of the country as far as the electric car infrastructure is concerned?
Well, I think there are places that are probably far worse off than we are.
Really?
You get out into the really rural areas, in the Dakotas and Montana, Utah, stuff like that, in the central part of the country where you travel for hundreds of miles without, major cities or towns. So there's consideration to that. We in New Hampshire and New England, nobody wanted the gas pipeline in the southern part of the state. Nobody wanted the Northern Pass. Nobody wants to do new hydro plants and whatnot. So where is this electricity going to magically come from? Ironically, and again, a little cynicism here, but, nobody wanted the Northern Pass, but I want you to drive through most of the towns in New Hampshire and see what's going on. Right here in the city of Concord, there's major, major utility upgrades going on the major transmission lines.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Berlin-Gorham, there's major work going on the transmission lines there. Down in the little town of Bow and Hooksett and all these other places, Deerfield, you see all this power line work being done. And here I am, again, thinking a little bit about it, and I was like, well, gee, they are putting the Northern Pass in and nobody knows about it.
Right, right, yeah.
Or nobody's complaining about
incrementally,
it.
Incrementally, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where is this all going to take place? Where is it going to bring us? It's yet to be seen, but I think we truly need some new, cleaner energy, electricity generation out there if this is the way we're going to go.
Well, I mean, the emissions from our vehicles today is certainly not what it once was. It's very negligible, isn't it?
It is. One of the things that the current administration keeps pushing is emissions reductions.
Yeah.
Well, with our current technology that we've had and developed over the years, most of the new cars out there are either zero emission or partial zero emission vehicles. And this is with the internal combustion engines.
Yes.
So
yeah.
The technology has brought us this far that most of the stuff coming out the tailpipe is negligible. It used to be we had dynamometers with 5 gas analyzers to check the emissions on cars. And now with the computers on board and everything, these gas analyzers have virtually gone away. And we rely on the cars to tell us with the check engine light and whatnot, what's going on. But when you look at the end of the day, most of the vehicles out there are near zero emission vehicles.
Yeah.
So this whole, myth about carbon output and carbon footprint and so on and so forth, the reality is we still need carbon dioxide. Our plants need carbon dioxide to live. And so if this is a standard they're measuring by, what are we missing here?
Yeah, I don't get it. And it's been shoved down our throats by the current administration. And, hopefully that will come to an end pretty soon in a number of ways.
Let me read into that.
Yeah. at any rate, I think, and Dan has said many times, I think every time he's been on the show, that, you like the technology. of an electric vehicle. It's nothing to do with that.
No.
It's nothing to do with the technology of it or being able to work on it or anything like that. It's just that there is just not the infrastructure right now across the country to support it.
I think, too, that if this was truly a viable business model for the car manufacturers, don't you think that they would have adopted this years and years and years ago without all the government incentives that are being handed out there? Why hasn't this been adopted sooner by the automotive industry?
Right. Exactly.
They're
not dumb people, folks.
No. the flip side is, how much of this technology has been scuttled or pushed away by the oil industry?
Yeah.
A couple different ways to look at it.
I guess so. I guess so. But at any rate, I saw a piece in one of the automotive publications that I don't subscribe to, but I get the first couple of sentences.
Sometimes that's all you need.
But a company by the name of Fisker Incorporated was an EV startup, a manufacturer in financial trouble, and recently in talks with Nissan about the possibility of Nissan investing in the company, but I guess those plans are not going to happen.
Yeah, it was, I guess I'll call it clouded judgment with Nissan going into it and high hopes for Fisker.
Yeah.
But I don't foresee them surviving. Much like GM has scuttled plans for one of their battery plants recently. Again, how much of this is truly a viable business model? If you've got all these startups, because Fisker is not the first one that has, if you will, tanked.
I guess the deal, or if there was any deal, or at least the talks between Nissan and Fisker terminated, as the New York Stock Exchange is planning to delist Fisker. Mm-hmm. Fisker shares due to, and I quote here, abnormally low price levels.
Pennies.
It's one of those penny stocks, folks. Right. Fisker Incorporated, and there probably won't be a stock at all in the not too distant future.
No.
But at any rate, it does seem like an EV startup is probably not the best business model at this current time. Anyway,
I wouldn't call it a great investment.
So in the brief time we have remaining, Dan, what else is happening?
So one of the things that I've been looking at with these, like the EVs and whatnot, is, what's the cost, in our case, to refill the fuel tank and or the electric vehicles?
Yeah.
And so, here... I
like this, because I have no idea. Oh, yeah. Better not interrupt.
Well, so typically 353 kilowatt hours per month to charge a electric vehicle.
Okay.
With our rates around here, it works out to be an extra $60 to $80 a month in your electric bill.
Wow. So you ain't saving very much, folks, when it comes right down to it,
No.
If you fill your tank a couple of times a month, that's about the same thing. I mean, some people obviously fill it more than that, but, it's not cheap. It's not energy free, that's for sure.
Right. Some quick research shows that an average EV battery is 80 kilowatt hours.
Yeah.
And at 60 cents to charge it, it costs you $48 to recharge that vehicle at a level 3 charger.
Jeez, I'm
on the road.
Boy, I'm doing my Jethro Bodine ciphering here. And boy, I'll tell you, I'm Dan Weed, Weed Family Automotive, at 124 Store Street in Concord. Give them the call right now. Get that inspection done. Get her done. 603-225-7988. Dan, always a great time, and thanks for being with us again.
I appreciate you having me.
We look forward to your next cartoon.
All right.
All right, here on WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. And folks, remember always to look on the bright side of life.